Om Shanti. And thank you, Chanti Ben, for joining our Latino retreat. And we apologize for being a bit late. I think they enjoyed Baba's Rock a lot. So we have the honor and privilege to have Sister Jenti with us. She is based in London. She is the regional coordinator for Europe and the Middle East and helps in Africa. Jenti Ben wears several hats, actually. But more than anything, Jenti Ben has been a good friend along the path, someone who has helped us a lot in our spiritual journey, helped us to move through things sometimes when our life becomes a little bit difficult. She's been always on the side of hearing, reading our letters, giving us advice. So she always addresses us as friends. So I think that we can also greet her as a friend. So she will be sharing on how to live a balanced life. So because several of you have been talking and asking, how do we do when we get back home? How do we manage our routine, the things we've heard, so we don't forget, so we practice? So Jenti Ben is very, very experienced. She came to this knowledge when she was a little girl, and so she has a lot of wealth and of knowledge to share with us. So welcome, Jenti Ben.
Thank you, Moira. You're used to this greeting by now, Om Shanti. I'm sure you must have enjoyed your outing to Baba's Rock. Is there anyone who had a very special experience there? A couple of people. I won't ask you to share now, but I'm sure that everybody would be interested to hear that from both of you. And the subject for this evening, balance. And it's a question that many people have, not just those who are experimenting with Raj Yoga, but generally in today's world, where there are so many demands and it feels as if you are having many, many balls all floating in the air at the same time, and there's a possibility that one of those balls might fall, and if one falls, then everything falls. Then it's not just one ball, but your whole balance goes. And yet in Raj Yoga, we've been given a very, very simple formula that makes it easy to think about how to set things so that then there can be balance. And in fact, before thinking about the word balance, maybe we can think about the word priority. Because sometimes it's not a question of this and this and both together, but it's a question of seeing what is the priority, and if I get my priority straight, then other things will follow very easily and naturally. And I heard this little formula in the 70s, I think, and it stayed with me, and it's been very, very helpful. Because maybe you think that living in a center, an ashram, is meditation all day. Is that what you think? Well, if you've been on a tour of Shantivan, then you would have seen how much work is going on. And whether it's administration, whether it's cooking, whether it's organizing, whether it's anything. If there's one individual, yes, you can meditate when you want and take a walk when you want, but when you're part of a community and the community is not just self-centered, but the community exists to be able to serve, then there's many, many demands on time and energy, and always a lot to be done, and usually, as in most places, not enough people to do it all. And so our day starts very early in the morning. Do you know how early? You've had that experience of early, early pre-sunrise meditation. And it finishes quite late. And sometimes there's a break in the afternoon, sometimes there isn't. And so given all of these conditions, you can see that it's a busy life, it's an active life, it's a rewarding life, it's a fruitful life. But how do we manage it all? And it's by following this particular formula. And the first priority, and it won't come as any surprise to you, is our own spiritual stage. That we see as being absolutely the foundation for everything else. And it's interesting because in the world out there, that doesn't even come into the formula. Nobody even thinks about spiritual stage. They might think about well-being, and they don't realize that well-being is connected with our spiritual stage and our consciousness. But definitely for a person beginning on the path of spirituality, or even moving far ahead down the line, the first and most important aspect is my own inner stage of consciousness and the attention that I'm giving that. And if other things take over as priority, then things don't work out. And sometimes it happens. There's a big program and everybody gets involved and excited, and a few people are having to work 20 hours a day, and so the priority gets forgotten a little bit. But if, especially in those stressful times, if the priority is remembered, then everything works out fine. And so how do I set about creating a good spiritual stage? And I'm sure it's something that you've experienced through this journey of yours, that when you give time to yourself, then you're able to maintain a good stage or a high consciousness. And that too, especially, what's the best time to do that? I'm sure you've experienced it now. The morning time. The best time to work on yourself and create a good stage is the morning. And that's not just while you're on holiday in India, but especially when you go back, you'll probably find that through the day there's many, many demands on your time. And the only time that people don't want you is early morning. And so that's the time that you can give to yourself without feeling guilty about it. Imagine if every evening you were to say to your family and your friends, "Look, I can't join you because I have to give my time to meditation." And evening meditation is important, but more than anything else, the early morning. And in the early morning, it's not just that nobody else wants my time, but it's also because that is the time to connect with God. Because your mind is clear, the atmosphere around you is quiet, and the earlier the better, the quieter it'll be at that time. By 7 o'clock in the morning, in most places, things have started moving quite fast. In London, it used to be that roads were completely quiet at 7 o'clock in the morning. And now? No more. 7 o'clock, the roads are full. And so imagine, people start their day earlier and earlier. Many different reasons. Some try to beat the traffic, some try to have quiet space in their office before the rest of the staff come, whatever. But it just means that it's like the day starts early and finishes very late for many people. And especially a time when there's movement and activity and all the energies and vibrations of the world are buzzing around. It's not so easy to have that clear, direct connection with the Divine. But give yourself time early morning to have time for connecting with the Divine, and you'll find that it's much easier to connect and to take all the gifts that God wants to give His child. And God's treasure store is wide open. And truly you can take as much power, as many virtues, and all the virtues that you want. They're all available. Just simply connect and it will all come flowing to you. And you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised at how easy it is to meditate. And you'll be surprised at how beautiful the experience is when you're really being filled. But there's a second reason also. If you begin the day in a rush, quick cup of coffee, preferably black, and then you start moving intensely, then by the time you get to the afternoon or the evening, when you've set aside time for meditation, if possible, the day has gone by, and maybe things have gone well, maybe things haven't gone so well, maybe you've given a bit of sorrow to somebody, maybe you've taken a bit of sorrow from someone. So by the afternoon or by the evening, several more karmic accounts will have been created along the way. And one of the reasons why we come to Raj Yoga and we begin to understand the whole subject of karma is because we're interested in settling our karma rather than continuing to add and create more karma. Yeah? Clear? I'm sure you must have had some lesson on karma already, right? So I don't want to add to my karma. And so the easy solution to that is, let me begin my day in the right consciousness, making that connection with the Divine, so that then that power reaches me and I'm filled with it, and I carry this power into all my other actions and responsibilities. And so it becomes very, very effective. This morning, Daddy said to somebody who'd been on a silence retreat that their silence was over and they were now going to get back into the schedule of meetings and so on. And Daddy said something interesting to them. Daddy said to them, "Now your silence is going to begin." And it sounded like a contradiction, because they just finished 3 days of silence, a small group of about 10 people, and now they were going to get into action. But Daddy was, and when I say Daddy, you know I'm talking about a senior yogi who's been meditating for 78 years now, so very senior. And so when she says something, you don't dismiss it and think, "Oh, she doesn't really mean that." No, you think about it. What does she mean? And what she meant was absolutely correct, that, okay, the period in which I say I'm going to make this space where I'm just going to meditate, that's for me. But then you get into all the other action And what happens then? That is the proof of how effective your silence has been, and whether the silence has really prepared you to deal with whatever is going to come your way. And so the real silence, to what extent you're able to stay connected with yourself, is when you get into action. And so the same for you. Early morning, the preparation through meditation especially, but also feeding your mind some spiritual knowledge. If you can do this, then it'll give you new insights every day. And of course, we come together in a class, wherever it is we are in the world, we come together to study together. And there's a difference between trying to study on your own and studying in a group. And the collective energy of the group is very beautiful. And so I'm sure you're connected with a center somewhere. That's how you were invited to come on this pilgrimage. And so stay connected with them, and they'll give you more information. But to feed the mind well at the start of the day means that I'm putting my mind and intellect onto a track which is very elevated and positive. If I leave my mind empty and free, it doesn't stay empty. There's going to be something coming in to occupy that space. And the things of the world out there, are they going to be nourishing for me? Probably not. Whatever it is you expose yourself to, whether it's a newspaper, radio, television, computer news, whatever it may be, 99% of the time, it's likely to be negative rather than positive. And so what am I feeding my mind first thing? Not very pleasant things. And of course, all of that's then going to influence the way in which I'm thinking and behaving through the day. Like this morning, the lesson that we studied together was very beautiful. And every day it's very beautiful. But today it was about spiritual love. And how when there's spiritual love, there's regard for each other. And so you can imagine, and it was, I've just given you one sentence, but it was three pages that explained more about spiritual love and how to generate it and maintain it and how to then use it in action. And so if I've heard this in the morning, first thing, it's going to be the guiding light for me the rest of the day. And so it makes a lot of sense to begin the day with time for myself as the priority. And if I've been able to do this, then the other things that we usually have to balance out, and one would be family and the other would be work, probably. I can imagine that everyone's situation is a little bit different, but generally speaking, it's these two things that come in. And so, if in the morning I've been able to fill myself, then the time that I get with my family is going to be a time to exchange happiness and love. Is that usually what happens in your family? When you have time with your family, is it just business? We have to do this, we have to do that, we have to do the other. Or is it a time really to enjoy each other's company and to be able to share happiness with the members of the family? Or is it that everything is so rush, rush, rush that you don't have time for your family? Well, my hope is that making time for yourself personally, spiritually, will then give you the insight about what it is you need to do to share time with the family and make them happy also. Because that is as much a part of my responsibility as my work, whatever my work may be. But sometimes we think, well, I have to be at work on time. Correct. So what about having to be with my family on time? That's also important. And so if I'm really aware of what it is I need to be sharing with my family, but important, if I've been able to fill myself with that happiness, with that love, through my own spiritual effort, I then have the capacity to be able to give something to my family. If I'm empty myself, what am I going to give my family? But rather, at that moment, I'll expect their support. I'll expect them to be giving me something. But I can change the equation. Rather than the expectation of them giving me something, let me be able to give something to them. And this is also part of my karmic account. How much have I been taking from my family? And sometimes, because families are always there, always giving, we take families for granted and we don't appreciate how much they're actually doing for us. And so when you become aware of karma, then you begin to appreciate how much others are actually doing for you. And if I just simply continue to take and take and take, at some point, the relationship is going to break. It can't continue like that. Generally, it has to be some give and take. But now you're even changing that, because whatever you need to take, you've taken. And now you're there to be able to give. To give your ears, to listen to them, to give your intellect, to give them good counsel, because you have the clarity, but also you don't have any personal desires anymore. Usually whenever somebody asks us about anything, there's always a personal motive that's there, sometimes very openly, sometimes undercover, hidden. But usually, even in the advice that one is giving, there's a bias there. If not my own personal motive, but definitely there's a bias. And yet, if I've been able to have time preparing myself, then through the day, at whatever time I have interaction with my family, maybe just a phone call, maybe an important phone call, but whatever it may be, giving them my time when I can and making sure I give them time every day is going to be able to fulfill what it is they need, so that all the years in which I've been able to take from them, now I'm giving them something in return. And then my work. And in a way, you work, you get a salary, and so there's no karmic involvement there. But yet, very interesting that if I allow any negativity to come into my actions in my workplace, again, karma kicks in and becomes a burden. Maybe I'm impatient. Maybe worse than that, maybe I get angry. Maybe there's ego of my position. All of these things are very natural human things that happen. But now I begin to identify what's going on. And I can see that if I'm able to deal with people with respect, with integrity, no karmic account is created. There's an exchange in which I do what I need to do, others do what they have to do, they respond. If I'm working with values, their response will also be the same. If I'm working with negativity, what do you think is going to happen? Probably, they're going to come back with the same. I get angry, And I create a culture in which I'm giving permission for others to do the same, to others who are further down the ladder. I do this, so others see, and others begin to do the same. It becomes acceptable. But no, it's not acceptable, because it's causing me sorrow. Think about it. Every time I've spoken a word that's harsh, the impact is not just on the other, but it's in here also. And when you begin to meditate, you can pick up on this. When you're not meditating, when you're not giving yourself time for silence, you don't notice these things. And of course, there's just a build-up of pressure and tension and stress. And then there's a return for that, both for yourself as well as for others. But if I'm aware, then I begin to see that the same work gets done, or maybe even more, if I do things peacefully, calmly, with respect rather than with force. And so one begins to learn that the way to do work in the best way possible and win everyone's cooperation is by using values in my own life. And where am I going to get those from? It's not the world out there that's going to teach me about honesty. Nobody else is going to teach me about respect. But it's going to be my own spiritual work inside that allows the values that are already there within the soul to emerge and be expressed in action. Because this is the original natural state of the soul. Peace and love and truth, purity and joy. And then, when we've forgotten about ourselves and we're not nurturing these qualities, then values disappear. And so the morning time and making sure that I've given time to myself is absolutely the foundation to make sure my family life stays light and easy and happy, but also that my workplace is a place that's filled with integrity and with respect and communication that's easy and open and natural. But none of these things can happen if I don't give myself time. I don't have to explain that to you. I'm sure you've experienced it for yourself also. But priority is one, and then the others will work out very easily and naturally. A lesson I learned the hard way, but it's again part of this formula, and that is the self first, and that's not selfishness, that's just being sensible. And then secondly, people, human beings, souls. And third, the task. The task will happen, it'll get done, but if souls are happy, the task will get done more easily. And if the people around you are not happy, you can be struggling and struggling and the task will take forever and it won't be of the same quality. Just imagine the people in the kitchen here, Shantivan, everywhere. They have tea ready for thousands of people by 3:30 a.m. What time do they get up? What time do they get ready? What time do they start doing the work? And the last thing that finishes in the kitchen, I'm using one example, the kitchens are easy to notice and see. The last thing that finishes, again, it's like 10:30, 11 by the time they clean up and pack up. And if you go to see the kitchens anytime the meals have been cooked and finished, everything is clean. Nothing is left for, well, maybe a few hours later or maybe tomorrow. Everything's sorted out as you go along. And of course, that's not just physical work that's happening, but it's the spiritual awareness. And just as I'm doing a lot of cleaning up in here, very much there's the awareness that the cleaning up has to be here also. And so spirituality means that then it impacts everything else in my life in a very beautiful way. So it's not going to church or a temple once a week and that's my day for God. In England they have Sunday religious programs and they call it the God slot. And so sometimes people think, well, I've seen the God slot, so that's good enough. But that's not what spirituality is about. Spirituality is who I am. And so who I am is then going to impact whatever else is happening in my life. But it means that if I give it that attention and focus, then there's a lot of clarity and you're able to see what it is that needs your attention and everything works out very beautifully. So I hope that the rest of your time here is enjoyable and fulfilling and beautiful. And I hope that your journey back home is safe. And I'm sure we'll meet somewhere in the world again. Definitely. Om Shanti.
Thank you very much, Gentle Ben, for that wonderful class. I'm sure you're all taking a lot of adding treasures to your treasure box, taking back home. So we know how her schedule is very, very tight, so we very much appreciate you having joined our retreat. And from Europe, we have participants from Spain, from Portugal, there's someone who's come from France, and also from Italy. So it's just wonderful that all the Latino world has come together. So thank you. Thank you very much. So...